the fact that Dustin came up and helped us pray for everybody, because a preacher can only preach as good as he can pray. Amen. So you should be warmed up, Dustin, since you've been praying a little bit. Amen. Man, prayer works. Prayer works. We should pray more. Pray ye one for another. The truth is, somebody can leave out of here tonight with a miracle. Amen. Because God is that kind of God. Amen. There's a lot of trouble. There's a lot going on. That's why we need the Word of God. Amen. Worship goes to Him. Preaching's for us. So come on, Brother Dustin, preach to us. Share what's on your heart. How many people are going to help him preach? Amen.
I tell you, if you're not a big prayer, get a job bolting top at Affinity. And some of the people you work with, and sometimes the conditions, both of them help you become a pretty good prayer. Before I get into it, I want to testify. I worked with this boy. I had maybe testified here about him. He was a pagan, or his parents were Wiccan, and he told me he had experienced spiritual power, and he really believed what he was talking about. And we got into some in-depth conversation, and I kind of shared my 2 cents, and he shared his 2 cents. And he's like, man, I ain't got nothing wrong with against Christians. He said, I went to a Christian rehab center. He said, I don't have nothing against Christians. Well, fast forward a couple months later, and he was talking to somebody behind me, and I could, you know how you can overhear somebody who was in the bathhouse. And he said, yeah, I'd say me and Dustin probably agree on a lot of things. And he smiled when he said it, because I turned as soon as he said that, because no, we don't agree on a lot of things. There's only one God. There's only one truth, and there's only one life. No matter what this world tells you, the name of the truth is Jesus. The name of that God is Jesus. And the one that gives you everlasting life, again, the name is Jesus. I hate to have to disagree with him, but the truth is, it's Jesus. He got fired a couple weeks ago. He had to check himself back into rehab, and I'm going to continue to pray for the guy. But I can boast about my Lord and Savior and say, I've never had to sink that low. I may have tripped up and backslid, but I've never had to pick up something that was below me. I've never turned to a needle. I've not turned to the bottle. I'm here today to tell you, my God is satisfying. I have tasted and seen, and He is good. He is altogether lovely. I have eaten of the bread, and I'm here today to tell you, it gave me life. I don't thirst anymore, because I have ever-flowing rivers coming out of my belly. Oh, man. Have you tasted and seen? Oh, man. He is so, so good. I'm going to talk a little bit about priesthood today. It's going to be a little bit of reading verses. I'm going to start in 1 Peter. Shane's got it wrong, but that's on me. That's my fault. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of Him who have called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. I'm going to pray. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for letting me get here on time, Lord. Thank you for giving me the strength, Lord, and the courage, Lord, to preach and proclaim your word, God. But most of all, I thank you for the anointing and the calling, Lord. God, you are so worthy, Lord. You are worthy 100-fold, Lord. I could not do it. I could not live. I could not even want to take my next breath if it was not for you, God. God, I just ask your anointing fall, Lord, and let me speak your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I switched to that verse first because I have a lot of reading to do, and I didn't want to make y'all stand for 22 verses, but I'm going to talk a little bit about the Levitical priesthood first, and then I'm going to go into another type of order of priesthood, and then we're going to hopefully, the Lord's will, we're going to drive it home, but we're going to talk about the righteousness of Christ and I'm pretty excited about all of it, but I think that part will be the most fun, if I can say that. Amen. So Leviticus 16, I'm going to read 1 through 22, and I'm going to pause in between like Damon does and kind of talk a little bit about what the verse does, so break it up a little bit. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of his two sons, of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. What they're talking about there is the Holy of Holies. Our church was previously named New Life Tabernacle. After the kind of setup that this scenario was put in, But I'm just going to talk about the duties of the priest and not so much the building. We changed the name, so I guess we don't care about the building anymore anyway, do we? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That's Old Testament's what he said. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Notice there he had two offerings. It's going to tell us here in a little bit, but I was just going to go ahead and kind of hit it on the head real quick. He had to have two offerings because he had to offer something for himself before he could go in and do the offering for Israel. You see, the problem with mankind has always been sin since the very, second or third chapter in Genesis, since the devil entered into the garden. We've always had a problem with sin and it ruling over our life. The Bible, in fact, says that every man has sinned and fell short of the glory of God. So there had to be God built us for relationship. There had to be a way for him to have a relationship with us. However, he is a holy and righteous God. And the closer you get to him, the more holy and righteous you find out he really is. That he's not some just big teddy bear in the sky, but he really is a God who created this entity called the sun that you can't even stare at. That one day we're going to stand before him and have to tell him why we done this and why we done this and what we done. That we really will have to answer for everything we have done. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with linen, with a linen girdle, and with a linen mirt shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. Man, I guess there are some holy clothing. And he shall take off the congregation of the children of Israel, two kids of the goats for the sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. That's what I was telling you about. He was sacrificing one for him and his family. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast upon the two goats one lot for the Lord and the other lot for a scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to have a scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock into the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make atonement for of himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. I'm going to stop right there for a little while. You get the point that there had to be certain arrangements made before he can even access into this place called the Holy of Holies or the Holy Place. Before he could go past this veil, he had to first make sure he had the right garments on. He had to make sure he was washed, his hands was clean. He had to make sure that the offering was blemish-free and that it was sacrificed. Before he could even attempt to make the sacrifice for the land of Israel. He had to go through all these, I guess, tasks. And, man, that's a lot. That'd be a lot to have to do. At least I think it would be. And that's essentially the gist of the Levitical priesthood. I done explained the reason they was there. The reason they was there was so you could have communion and relationship with your God, because God always wants to dwell with his people. He wants to have a people. He always was trying to make a way for his people. I know the Old Testament God that we read about, there's a lot of wrath, but that's because he was trying to wake them up and let them know, hey, I am better. I am better than Baal. I am better than whatever pagan god my buddy was worshiping. I am better than Muhammad. I am better than all these things. It is me. It is I am. I am. Man, if we could just understand that he's been trying to get our attention since he made us. He's been trying to get our attention. God, I thank you, Jesus. So the Levites were a pretty big deal back in the day, you could say. So much so that, I backtrack, you had to be a Levite in order to even qualify for this position to become a high priest. The Bible would tell us that they were chosen, and that was God's, I guess, ordained people, you could say, to be the priests. Henceforth, that's why it's called the Levitical priesthood. They done pretty good for a little while, but not good enough. Jesus still came. The ultimate sacrifice. But now that I've laid the groundwork of what the Levitical priesthood was and the sacrificial law, I want to get into a different type of priesthood. You can go to Genesis for me, Shane. Now here we're going to read about this dude named Melchizedek. I might name my son after that guy. It's a cool name, I think. This was before the Levites were ever born into existence. This book, Genesis, comes before Leviticus, for people who don't know. So that means the law hadn't been given yet. There wasn't no way for a priest, I guess, to have a holy book to read to know what to do. Or there's no tablets and there was no commandments. And this Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. He was a priest. I heard that. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. I'm going to pause right there for a second. Abraham, everybody know Abraham? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. You are one of them. I am, you know. A lot of people come from Abraham. He's the father of many nations. I went to Awanas. But he is who brought forth the 12 tribes of Judah. And he is the one who God made a covenant with, and who God made a lot of, I guess you could say, a pact with. He was a pretty important biblical figure. So, there you go about him. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me thy persons, and take thy goods to thyself. So we see the big shot of the Old Testament, Abraham, the guy who Awanas was teaching me songs about. I mean, it was a pretty big deal. When he crossed this path, this is about the only time you're going to read about him in the Old Testament. Paid tithes to the... Well, thank you, sir. I actually stole one from Angie's room already, so... But he actually paid tithes to this guy that you only read about one time in the Old Testament. One time. And to me, that blew my mind. You don't really hear about him again throughout the whole scripture until Hebrew. You go ahead and take me to Hebrew. Jesus. To Hebrews 7, verses 3 through 4, Shane, please. This is there's a lot more directed towards this Melchizedek guy, and there's a lot of controversy to him. Some people believe that he is a type of Christ, but I don't, I guess, fall under that line of belief, because I believe our Redeemer came from our kinsman, and Mary hadn't been born yet, so I don't believe this was an incarnation of Christ. So I'm going to explain these two verses for you, and I'm going to try to do it in a pretty quick way, and I'm going to try to start preaching about Jesus. Without father, without mother, this is talking about Melchizedek. Without father, without mother, without descendant, having neither beginning of days nor the end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now to consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of his spoils. So basically, back up to the other verse, please, Shane. It tells us he don't have a mom and a dad, and he don't have a birthday. Who would agree with me in that? When is that not what it kind of says? But so often we take scripture so I guess just blunt for what it says, and we forget that these were notes written to particular people. Hebrews was written to Hebrews. So they would know a thing or two about the Levitical priesthood. They would know a thing or two about how important it was for the Levites to provide their genealogy, to provide their birthright of actually being able to become a priest. I think it was in Malachi that the Levites who were priests lost their records and wasn't able to preach or I guess be a priest anymore. It was very important that you could prove who your mommy was and who your daddy was, and you could prove why you was able to do this. You see, this is why, and this is what was revealed to me, this is in here, is because, hey, this guy's standing wasn't because of who his mom was and who his dad was. This guy's claim to being a priest of the Most High God was strictly because of his righteousness. There wasn't seminary for him to go to, because there was no biblical books back then. There wasn't no type of learning for him to go to. The only claim to his priesthood he had was righteousness. And that's all it tells us about him, that he was the king of Salem and he was righteous. I think that's why our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, as the in Hebrew would later tell us, claims to come after the order of Melchizedek, because he was not a Levite by birth, although his birthright was there, because we all know who Jesus' daddy was. We all knew where he came from. Although the birthright was there, he still came from the tribe of Judah. See, I believe that there's stuff like this that's in the Bible that makes you just kind of, I guess, focus in like you would focus on a scope, and makes you really look at it. The thing that qualified Christ to be our high priest is not his birth, was not his birthright, but it was in fact his righteousness. For he that knew no sin became sin, so that you may be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm here today to tell you, we have a high priest who is holy, who is righteous, and who did not have to offer a sacrifice for himself before he could enter into the Holy of Holies. No, he brought his own blood and redeemed mankind once and for all by applying his blood to the mercy seat. Oh man, we serve an awesome God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. In Matthew 6:33, he would say, "But ye seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, it's impossible to separate the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because we serve a God who is righteous. You see, I truly believe we can walk in righteousness. We can actually live a holy and acceptable lifestyle like Paul beseeches us to do. We can actually do these things if we learn to lean on Jesus, our high priest. Oh, man. Oh, I'm telling you, you're able to do it, church. You're able to do it. I know some days it's rough. Listen, it was a rough day for me today. I told my boat partner, I said, "Man, I'm glad it's Wednesday. I think the week's going to get easier." He said, "What you talking about, man?" I said, "Man, I got to preach, and I feel like that's why this week's been terrible. We've had to work late the past couple days, and the top got hard." I would, if I was a betting man, I know the Bible, they casted lots, but still, I don't bet. I would almost bet that the top's going to get soft tomorrow. I'm going to tell you that. It's going to be easy drilling, and it's going to be a better day. Because when you have a message, when you have a word from God, when you want to proclaim truth to His people, when you want to preach liberty, when you actually got something, a burden that's burning inside of you, the devil's going to do everything in his power to make you not do it. He's going to make you tired. He's going to make you weak. He's going to make you want to just, y'all are working people. Y'all know what kind of people we work with. Sometimes you just want to grab them, especially sorry people or whatever the appropriate term is to call them. Man, but I'm telling you, our God's able. Our God's able. This 2 weeks ago, I was in prayer, and I'm going to meet up with Josh Hensley about it. Josh Hensley, I'm going to brag on my brother, if that's okay, real quick, does this amazing thing. And I say amazing because it's truly amazing. But I can't recall the last time he ever talked junk or brought somebody down about anybody. About anybody. Now, I like talking junk about lazy people at work. I do. I mean, sometimes it's easy to do because there's so many of them. But, man, I don't know if Josh had something revealed to him. And I said, man, I want to know. I want to know the secret because I'm tired of bringing death with my mouth. The power of life and death is in the tongue. I want to speak life. I want to bring things to people's attention that's not about so much about the worldly things. I want to be able to speak to them about Jesus and be bold about it. Because truth is, there is going to be an end. Truth is, all this is going to wrap up. It might be two days from now. It might be 2,000 days from now. It might be 2,000 years from now. I don't know the time. Jesus told me I ain't going to know the time. But I'm here today to tell you, I want to be sure I'm ready. I want to make sure my house is ready. I want to make sure the people I work with are ready. I don't want to take for granted the morning that God gave me, the breath that He let me have one more time. Oh, man, I thank you, Jesus. My next verse I'm going to be reading is Romans 5:21. I don't really have any notes. First time not really having notes. I just got verses. So that's probably why I've stuttered a lot. I went to speech therapy as a kid, but it still didn't help my stutter, not in this scenario. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, sin had its time. But I'm here today to tell you, if you've been introduced to Jesus and His blood's been applied, the reign's over. No longer are you bound to sin. No longer does the chains have to hold you down. No longer do you have to be a slave to fear. No longer do you have to bow down to anxiety. I'm here today to tell you, you don't need to go to no doctor to make him give you a pill to make you all right. No, we serve a high priest. We serve a high king. We serve a God who is able. If He can get dirt off the ground and put it on a blind man's eyes and make him see, I promise you, He can comfort you. He is the Prince of Peace. Man, I believe. I still believe in miraculous healing. Our God is still miraculous. Our God is still not confound to what this world has, I guess, taught us in our school system, in our thankology. It's not thankology, but I can't think of the word. That's why I normally have notes. I wouldn't say things like thankology. But you get the picture. It twists us and it makes us, well, that's just how it goes sometimes. That's just how it goes sometimes. Listen, me and my wife quit working when we had babies. I want her to be home with my kids. And I decided to go underground 9-10 months ago. And it was about a $12 an hour pay cut. And I was the only provider. And it was a really, really big pay cut. A lot more money going out than coming in for 6 consecutive months. And it was tough. But I didn't lose no weight. Well, I lost some weight, but it was due to work. I didn't miss any meals. I didn't miss any bills. I'm here today to tell you, I've never seen the righteous go forsaken and begging for bread. I'm here today to tell you, God can provide for you. The question is, do you got faith? Do you believe? Do you believe in the truth that's in this book? Amen. That's good. Oh, man. I actually had a book to Pat, Pastor. Pastor Davis fussed at me last time I preached because I brought my phone with all my notes. This is Violet's Bible, actually. I didn't want to come up here without the book, so. Take me back to 1 Peter 2 and 9. Musicians, I'm closing. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Amen. You are a chosen generation. That means he picked you. He wanted you. You wasn't just some happen chance that heard the good news. No, there was a thing that drew you out of the darkness. There was a godly sorrow that entered your heart. There was a spark that started when you first heard the word. You was a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. The only reason you can be royal, the only reason you can be part of this priesthood is because he died for you and he applied, and his blood is applied and you are washed in his blood. Not only does that make you a priest, that makes you royal because he calls you sons. He calls you daughters. You got a new daddy. You've been adopted. Oh man, have you heard the good news? Good news. Have you heard the good news? The good news is Jesus died for you. Amen. Jesus loves you. Yes. He didn't stay dead. He got back up.
Yes. That's good.
He didn't just get back up. He went unto the Father and he applied his own blood to the mercy seat. I know I might be repetitive, but I want you to get the picture. I got something for you oneness people. Damon's done it before. So I know he won't mind because I'm stealing his stuff. In the Levitical priesthood setup, the way it would work, there would be a priest, there would be an offering, and then there would be God who accepted the offering. Okay, give me some people. I need three people.
All right.
You can be the priest, you can be the offering. You can be what was above the Holy of Holies, the cloud of light.
Okay.
That's probably who you want to be anyway. So, 1, 2, 3. Well, if I read right, Jesus was the offering. Jesus is the high priest who brought the offering. And Jesus accepted the offering because my Bible says the Lamb sits in the midst of the throne. So, 1, 2, 3, Jesus. So I'm here today to tell you, Jesus was the offering, Jesus was the one who offered it, and Jesus was the one who accepted it. I'm here today to tell you to get washed by the blood. I'm here today to tell you, if you're going to have a relationship, make sure it's in Jesus' name. Oh, glory. Y'all can sit down. I'm not great at illustrations. Oh, man, do you realize how marvelous the light really is? He called you out of darkness. He called you out of darkness. No wonder you should show forth praise unto him. No wonder you should tell people about him. You shouldn't have to be provoked and urged, and you shouldn't be still. If you've been a Christian for 3, 4, 5, 6 years, you shouldn't still be getting nervous about proclaiming the word of God to a sinner. It is the power of life. You can set people free. You can save their soul. Oh, man. You know what heaven gets excited about? When a soul gets saved. You know, heaven gets excited when a soul gets saved. You got to proclaim the word.
Amen.
It's not just preachers who proclaims the word. It's all of us. If you're a born-again believer, if you believe in the power of Jesus Christ, you need to share the gospel. The Great Commission wasn't to just a select few. It was to all of us.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, God, because when you start doing it, you get more comfortable. It gets a little bit easier, especially if you're truly in love with them. Because I found out with people like to talk about what they're in love with. People like to talk about their hobbies. People like to talk about what they're into. I'm telling you today, get into Jesus. Oh, fall in love with Jesus. Make Jesus your hobby. Oh, man, I thank you, Jesus. Did he call you out of darkness? He called me out of darkness. I'm here today to tell you I have been liberated. I see. I once was blind, but I am no longer blind. I can see. I can see. All I can tell you is I can see. I will scream that until my deathbed. I can see. Oh, this world makes sense. No longer is there a void. The void has been filled. It has been satisfied. And that satisfaction comes all through Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone. Oh, I thank you, Jesus.